Welcome to week one of our brand new series, Sticky Faith. I want to help you develop a faith that lasts, a faith that is strong. I want you to grow in faith. That's my heart for you, that you hear God and you grow because you are listening to him. You know it's him. You believe what he says and you walk it out. In fact, the scripture for this series, the scripture that's through every week, is Romans 10:17. It's, so faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I want you to hear God's word to you. Listen, he's already given us his word in the Bible. And man, I love the Bible. I read through it every year. And in addition to my devotions, my personal devotion, I've committed to read through the Bible every year. For the last 4 years, I've been using the Wayfinding Bible. It's a great Bible. That's the Bible that we still give to people when they come to the church. But this year, I'm trying something new out. It's still New Living Translation, but it's the Filament Bible. It's kind of cool because there's an app associated with it that when you download the app, you can click on some of the, they have little icons here, little numbers and signs per page, and it gives you all of the background for that. So there's study tools associated with it. It's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm in the first, done with the first month of reading through the Bible. So I've enjoyed it. But I will say that there are times when we read the Bible, like you've probably done the old flop and drop, like, okay, Lord, speak to me. Boom. And you open it up like I just did somewhere, and you put your finger down. And this is, I'm at Psalms 88. You have thrown me into the lowest pit, into the darkest depths. This is, wow. And your anger weighs on me with wave after wave. You've engulfed me. You've driven my friends away. This is the middle of a psalm of, let's see, of Korah. Look, I'm just going to be honest. Like, that didn't resonate with me. This is God's word. But there are those moments where if we genuinely are seeking the Lord, we may read and we may go, man, I'm not getting much. How is this making my faith grow? Let me just tell you, keep pursuing God and he's going to speak to you. And today we're going to look at Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at a man who I believe genuinely had a heart from God, and he was seeking truth. And let me just tell you, just remember this, all truth leads to God. All truth leads to God. So when you are seeking God and you, Lord, I want to know, you're going to find him. You may go through dry seasons and dry spells, but let me tell you this, Romans 10:17 is so true. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So even if it's in dry seasons and you're reading like, Lord, I don't have anything, keep pursuing, do what you know that is the right thing to do. Keep following him. He's going to show up. See, Acts chapter 9 is about a story of a man who was very committed to his religion, which was Judaism. His name was Saul, ultimately becomes the apostle Paul. But as we see Acts chapter 9, we see Saul as a younger man who's very zealous for the things of God and how he's grown up being taught. He's adamantly opposed to those who follow the way. That's what they called the church in the first days, the way, who followed Jesus, believing he was the Messiah. So much so that he was passionate about squashing all teachings related to Jesus and anyone who followed him. So that's where we pick this up. Here it is. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus. Now, that's outside of Israel. That's in Syria. Asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them back, both men and women, to Jerusalem in chains. He was passionate for the Lord and what he knew growing up. In other words, he loved Judaism. He loved the temple and going to the synagogue. He had a heart for the Lord. But what he hadn't had is the very thing that is foundational and needed for us if we are going to have a sticky faith, a faith that sticks with us. And I believe that as we study principles throughout Scripture that are stuck throughout Scripture, that as we apply them, it will stick to us and our faith will grow. And here's the first principle, it's revelation. You see, Paul knew all about Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. In fact, he was diametrically opposed to the people that followed Jesus because he thought that they were corrupting Scripture. See, he knew the Bible. He knew all of the law of Moses and the prophets. He knew it all, but he hadn't had a revelation of the truth behind it. This is why I'm doing this series. This is why we're continuing. Like, how do we grow in believing what God has for us? Because the fact of the matter is that you can like know the Bible, but not know the author. I mean, I've read a lot. I mean, I have a degree in literature. And there's not many books that I've read that I've met the author. One of my favorite authors, particularly when I was a younger man, was Tony Hillerman. He was a fiction writer, wrote about the desert Southwest, the Four Corners area. And I studied everything that he wrote. I didn't just read it because it was fun. I studied the cultures that he was writing about, which were the Native American cultures, particularly the Navajo in the Four Corners area in Arizona and New Mexico. But I never met Tony Hillerman. I mean, I knew his work and I felt like I knew him. I never knew him. I never met him. And then he died and he's still dead. You see, Saul knew the scriptures, but he didn't know the author. And if we're going to have faith that really is real, I don't want you to just know scriptures. I want you to know the author. Because it's the Lord. Saul was uttering threats with every breath. He was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and requested letters to the synagogues in Damascus asking for their cooperation and the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Why? Because he thought that they were perverting the scriptures. But he was about to have his world rocked. As he was approaching Damascus, remember, he's going there to arrest Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem in chains so that he could try them for blasphemy and was hoping that they would be executed. All because he believed in the purity of Scripture. He was about to meet the author. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Look at Saul's answer. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. He reveals his ignorance. He knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. He was a Pharisee. He had memorized the first five books of the Bible. That's what Pharisees did. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He had memorized large portions of the historical books of Joshua and Judges and Ruth. And he had memorized many of the prophets and passages from them. He lived every day to walk out the law. But he had never met the lawmaker. He had never heard the explanation from the author of why all that was in there. And as he's going on a mission that he thinks is a pure one, that he's doing something that's good, he has an encounter with Jesus. And this is going to Damascus, and then all of a sudden, there's this light that's bam. I love what Jesus says. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" But even more, I love what Saul says. "Who are you, Lord?" He's like, "Who are you?" He had no clue. He has this supernatural interaction where a light appears and a voice says, "Why are you persecuting me?" He's fallen off of his horse, fallen on the ground. "And who are you, Lord?" I think he had some idea what was going on. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." The reality is that when we have that first revelation of Jesus, it's going to knock us down off of our high horse where we think that we were doing everything right. Because let me just say that Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword." What does that mean? The first time that I had a revelation of Jesus speaking to me, it was the first step of growth in faith, was Galatians 1:10. I remembered I was probably 14 or 15 years old, and my youth group leader challenged us to read Galatians, go eat popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And it was the first time I picked up that Bible. I was like, "I'm going to read it and see if God can say anything." Galatians 1:10. It says, "Who are you trying to please, men or God? If you're still trying to please men, you're not a servant of God." And it knocked me square in the head because I realized that my life was about pleasing other people and God wasn't even in that mix, even though I wanted to be a good guy, you know? And so it knocked me down, because anytime you have an interaction with Jesus and the light bulb goes off, that light, it's going to knock you off of your horse, your way of thinking, the direction that you're headed, because Jesus is the Lord of creation. And man, I'll be honest, I don't like those pictures where they paint Jesus and he looks like this sissy, like, that is not the Jesus that met me when I was reading Galatians and says, hey, what are you doing? You're living for other people and yourself. You're not really living for me. You're living a fake life. It knocked me off my horse. Saul, a man who had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible, knocks him to the ground and says, why are you persecuting me, Saul? Saul's like, who are you? I'm Jesus. Because the foundation of sticky faith, of a faith that's real, is you hear from the Lord. Here's my first point. What happens, with sticky faith? Like, you want it to stick, you got to stick to God's word to you. Stick to God's word to you. When's he spoken to you? And what's he spoken to you? And hold on to that. Isaiah 58:12. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the old, age-old foundation. You'll be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. That's why the Lord brought us to Lake Charles. And if I'm honest, I think that everything leading up to 2020 was just us growing and learning so that we could start the church after the storm, so that we could rebuild ancient ruins, could raise up age-old foundations of godliness in our city, in our region. We could repair the breaches in the wall and restore the streets to live in. Where does that begin? See, that's the scripture God gave us in coming to Lake Charles. But where does that begin? That begins with believing God's word to you. Stick to God's word to you. That's the first thing. If you want to have sticky faith that sticks, you have to stick to God's word to you. Look, it's never going to contradict this Bible. In fact, this Bible may be the very vessel that God uses to speak it to you, or it's the vessel that God uses to confirm it. But it's going to be confirmed and not deviate from this word. But if you want to have sticky faith, you have to have a revelation. It's the light bulb moment. It's the light in the darkness. Ba-ding, and you know who Jesus is. It's more than simply an intellectual understanding that the Bible is true. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. I mean, Saul had that. He had an intellectual understanding and believed that the Bible was true. But everything changed the moment that he heard the voice of Jesus to him. You know, it's crazy. No one around him heard it. They heard something, but it wasn't intelligible to them. Because when God speaks to you, it's for you. Because the second thing is that God has not just like a revelation for you, like he has a people for you. Look at the next thing. I'm reading on. It says, the voice replied, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And then he says, now get up and go into the city, because God always has something for you to do and some place for you to be. Get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. He couldn't see. Let me just say that after you really have a revelation, you feel like, wait a minute, everything that I previously saw ain't there anymore. I can't see it all. And it may be a little while before you get your head screwed on straight and you have some actual spiritual sight going on. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and he didn't eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord had spoken to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now, and I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again. See, God's going to highlight the people that you need to be connected to. Because if you want to have a faith that it sticks, it's a sticky faith that lasts, that grows, you've got to stick to God's word to you, but you've got to stick to the godly people that he places in your life. Don't discount their voice to you. God will use them. In fact, he tells Saul, hey, listen, he obviously clearly tells Ananias, listen, you're going to go to Straight Street. You're going to go to this house named, this guy named Judas. You're going to find this guy named Saul from Tarsus there. I've already spoken to him. He's had a vision of a man named Ananias coming to talk to him. Go. What's the second thing? If I'm going to have a faith that lasts, second thing, I got to stick to God's people. So who are the people that God's placed in your life? Listen, you may not have them forever. They may circle back around, but God's going to continually put people in your life to confirm what it is he's done in you. The revelation that you've had, it's not going to be the primary. It's going to be the secondary. But just as you needed that revelation from the Lord to grow in your faith in him, you're going to need the people that he places and divinely brings around you to help you grow and to help you understand what God's calling you to. This is biblical all throughout the Bible. Man, we just look at the people who had revelations from the Lord. Let me just go through Adam and Eve, Cain, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the sons of Joseph, Joshua, Moses, dear Lord, all of the prophets. It begins with a word from the Lord. But even in all of those people, they needed the people around them. Go back to Adam. It's not good that man's alone. God puts people in our lives to be a helpmate to us, to help us, and to confirm the purpose, the plan, the vision that God has for us. Don't discount that, because you need, first of all, the word from the Lord, but then you need people that God brings into your life that can help you grow. I've shown him in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things that this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. He's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. I mean, that's a legit concern. But the Lord says to Ananias, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. God used Ananias to deliver a message to Saul that he was God's chosen instrument. How do we have sticky faith? How do we grow? Revelation, a word from the Lord to stick to the word that God has for you. Stick to the people that God has around you to help you build faith. And then stick to the purpose and the plan that God has for you. You've got to know that you are God's chosen instrument, right where you are. Right where God didn't say that Saul is my chosen instrument in another season. No. God had a plan for him in another season, but he also had it in that moment. You see, the fact that God had ordained and called and created Saul was for that moment as much as it was the moments where he was writing 2/3 of the New Testament. And so don't discount where you are. And you have to know, even when you feel like you've had your feet chopped out from under you, even when you feel like, man, things are like, I can't see what's going on. I don't know what's just happened. Lord, was that really you? God's going to put people around you to show you his purpose for you. And that's the third thing. Yeah, I got to stick to God's word to me. I got to stick to God's people. I got to stick to God's purpose and plan for me. Sometimes he'll use the people around you to help you to see real clearly that you are God's chosen instrument right where you are right now. See, Saul had questioned who Jesus. First of all, he was diametrically opposed to the way. He was opposed to Jesus. He wanted to see believers in Jesus executed. Then he has a revelation of Jesus. And when Jesus speaks, he says, who are you, Lord? And then Jesus says, well, I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. And then he's blind and now he can't see. And then God gives him a vision of somebody named Ananias coming and putting their hands on him. And then he can see again. But that's it. That's all he has. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eye, and he regained his strength. Then he got up and was baptized. Why baptism? So our Western understanding of baptism is probably a wee bit different than Saul would have had. Because anytime they found themselves unclean, to be made clean, they had to go through what's called a mikvah. They had to immerse themselves in naturally running water or rainwater. So a stream, a lake, rainwater that had been captured. They had to immerse themselves anytime they were unclean. So he's baptized. And afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength. And Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He indeed is the Son of God." And then in verse 22, it says, "Paul's preaching became more and more powerful. And the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah." Because Jesus had an encounter with Jesus, because Saul had an encounter with Jesus, because Saul relied on Ananias and had a vision of the person that God was bringing into his life to help him see clearly, because Paul recognized that it wasn't the baptism that made him clean, it was the word from Jesus and the baptism, the immersion in that mikvah that Jews regularly did at minimum once a month, usually more than that, that Paul went and was baptized. He immersed himself not to be clean, but as an understanding that he had already been made clean because of the word of Jesus to him and the fact that God had ordained Ananias to come and lay his hands on him, the scales fell off, and he immediately began to preach who Jesus was. And he grew in strength and power. That's why it says his preaching became more and more powerful. What's that mean? That means that he began to grow in confidence and faith. That's what I want for you, that we have sticky faith, that we know God's word to us, that we stick with that. We stick with the people that God's placed around us. And we hold fast and stick to the purpose that God created us to bring light into the darkness. I want you to grow. And maybe you're far from the Lord. How do you draw near to him? You hear his word to you saying, I'm asking you to open your heart to me. Jesus says, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door to me," the door to their heart, "I'm going to come in and have a dinner with them. We'll sit down and get to know one another." You open your heart to him. Maybe that's you, and you need to pray with me right now. You need to open your heart to Jesus, that you sense him knocking on the door of your heart. It's not a moment where there's a bright light and you fall off your chair or you fall out of your car if you're listening to this while you're driving. But you know that this is a divine moment. Respond. And here's how you do it. You just pray something like this. Say, "Jesus, I believe this is you, that you're knocking on the door of my heart. I open my heart to you. I turn from my way, from my sin, from what I think is right, and I trust you." In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want to help support you. I want to be able to put people as a resource in your life, put a Bible in your hand so that you can grow in what God's called you to. And if that's you, please click on the link in the chat underneath. Go on our website, get on the app, connect, because God's called you not just to him, but to people. Why? Because he has a purpose for you so that you can grow. Love you guys. See you soon. God bless.